I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm glad, Sarah, you spoke up, because I've been feeling like I've needed to speak and just tell my story and how far I've come and where I am in my journey, and sharing my experience, strength, and hope. But let's see. I guess I can start from the beginning of my sex and love addiction. I believe that my addiction formed at about 5 or 6. And I was watching my dad have an affair when I was about kindergarten, first grade. And I met the girlfriend. We went out to dinner. I remember she gave me like a little, like, you know those like strings on the fan? There was like a little glass teddy bear that she gave me, which is so weird. But yeah, I remember going over to her house, and it was, I could feel that I wasn't supposed to know about this, and it was a secret, and my little brain couldn't really wrap my head around it, but I just knew that mommy does not need to know. And so about that age too, the girlfriend barged into the house, knocking on the door, and like super late. The cops came. She was hitting my dad in the street. It was a whole shit show. And then we ended up moving cities completely. And my parents stayed together throughout my entire childhood. I've always knew that my dad was cheating, and I always begged my mom to leave. Literally at like 12, 11 or 12, I'm like, why are you still with him? And so I guess at a young age, I was taught to stay in a relationship that no longer served me and to be treated the way that my mom was being treated. My dad was never present. He was always absent. And then later find out in college that he was a drug addict, which honestly made me feel better because of how shitty of a dad he was. And made me feel better to know, like, this isn't him. And it made me give him a lot of grace and why he was the way he is. But so all of the trauma with my dad fed into all the relationships that I had with men. So my first boyfriend was, well, sorry, my first crush on a boy was in kindergarten. But my first real boyfriend was in high school. And we'd literally leave school to go have sex, either go get high, smoke weed, or leave school to have sex. And I ended up actually sleeping with his best friend in high school. And that night was actually the only night in my entire life that I wanted to kill myself. I don't have suicidal thoughts, but that night I wanted to take all of the pills that we had in the house and kill myself. And I did not know why I did that. Why was I sleeping with my person, my boyfriend's best friend? And actually, I slept with him right before I saw him. And it was like out of revenge. I knew that we were on a break and he was slept with another girl. And so I wanted to sleep with another person and that be his best friend. And so ever since then, I was like, what is wrong? And then, of course, it got to college, just got worse. We ended up breaking up because I wanted to sleep around. So, yeah, my addiction really, really was manipulating men for sex. And I would say coming into these rooms, I am a sex addict before a love addict. And then finding out that I'm a love addict being in this program. And realizing that, you know, whoever I'm with, I'll go to anxious or I'll go to avoidant. So the more attention that the guy gives me, the more I'm like, no, intimacy. And the more that he was avoidant of me, the more that I clinged. Ended up finding, okay, so dad was a drug addict in college. I started going to Al-Anon. And Al-Anon I found a group of people who I felt like I wasn't alone. You know, this was my first 12-step, and I fell in love with it. It gave me an escape. And then I was actually doing my 4th step inventory with my sponsor, and all of my inventory was sex based, all of it. And it just got me thinking, why? So I actually, I was at a recovery convention that I was speaking for Al-Anon, and a girl in SLAW spoke up, and everything she was saying, she like went into, pretty sure she went into treatment at like 15, for sleeping around. And that was the one message that I was like, holy crap, there is a 12 step for this. I wasn't ready to get in though. Absolutely not. I was still seeing someone that was treating me so poorly. Like, I was so obsessed with him, and I did not understand why I couldn't just leave. And I actually looked up, why couldn't I leave a toxic guy? And SLAW also popped up. So this has been on my heart since 2020, knowing what I am, who I am. But I actually was in the rooms for a little bit. I didn't get a sponsor, and I moved to and I was in a step study, and I was in it for about a week or two in my new city. I was like, I don't need this. Like, I'm in a new city. I'm fine. I don't have a problem. And so I'm in my new city for 2 years, and I have two bad relationships later, one with a suicidal, depressed. I wouldn't say he was an addict, but his parents were. So he was an enabler, and an Al-Anon for sure. And I was just his emotional punching bag. But what really got me into the program was my ex, who was a drug dealer, an addict, an alcoholic, a gambler, anything you can think of, he was. His dad died of alcoholism, and his mom was a rageaholic. So he had a lot of anger issues, and that was my first relationship that I had to deal with anger, and thinking that it was okay, and making excuses for him. So throughout, honestly, what really brought me in was I've always had, like, my gut tells me a lot, but I never want to listen to it, and my anxiety tells me a lot, but I never want to listen to it. And he raged at me and my roommate. We were out of town, and I finally was like, okay, this has to be the end. So I got back into these rooms, and it wasn't until I went and slept with someone double my age that I came crawling in, like, I need help. I just kept giving myself and giving myself and giving myself away, that I had nothing left. I was so insecure, I didn't think of myself as insecure, but the people pleasing was, I only said yes. I didn't have a voice. I never spoke up for myself. I always just did what everyone else wanted me to do. And I thought I was using sex as something empowering, and that I took control and it was me in control and had power. But the more I was sleeping with people, and I actually got sober from substances, and I had my first one night stand sober. Oh my God, it nearly killed me. It nearly killed me, because I was longing for this connection. He told me all of these things. I thought we were, you know, I thought we were going to hang out the next day, and like all of these, you know, I just gave myself away, and then he just completely ghosted. And so after that, I don't know. I just, I was done you know, giving myself away like that. So I was aware of, I couldn't sleep with random people, but then I got into toxic relationships and realized, okay, I'm giving myself away.
That's 10 minutes.
Thank you. By giving myself away. So yeah, it was really the connection. I was so desperate for connection. I was so desperate to belong. Like my boyfriend, we actually were friends first, and we had a little friend group, and I loved to go to concerts and music festivals, so that was like our little crew. And I infiltrated it by trying to, you know, be with someone who was completely inappropriate. He was so inappropriate to be with. And I realized that it started going downhill is when my dad sent me a 30-page letter, basically telling me how wrong I was for thinking that he was a drug addict and blaming me and my therapist for putting all of this bag of shit for me to carry around. And so after him sending me that letter, I reached out to another guy to get attention. And of course, my boyfriend was like, wait, what the fuck? And so basically, I was emotionally cheating on her in our entire relationship. And so finally getting into these rooms, I had no other choice. I thought I was going to die. I knew that there was something bigger and better for me. I knew that I could have relationships that were healthy, but I just really had no idea what that looked like. And being in these rooms for a year, it's been over a year. My entire life has changed. I have so much that I never thought I'd have. And yet I can feel that I'm still longing for what was. And I just know that that comes with working my program. Like, I know that I will never be able to do what I used to do, not unaware. So, yeah, I can't go back, is what I'm saying. Like, I can't go back. It's too painful, and I don't want to. Yeah. I just know that God created, I just know that I had bigger and better things for me. And right now I'm kind of in a in-between stage of I'm losing a lot of friends. And I was actually supposed to be at a music festival this weekend, so I wouldn't even be here to talk if I was at my music festival. So that's higher power. But I was going to go, and it just felt something in me. I told my friends my boundaries, and they didn't respect them. I would be seeing someone, actually two people that I have been with, and I was trying to set up boundaries for myself. If I'm going to a music festival, I need to leave at a certain time. I can't see certain people. I need to kind of get in, get out, you know, not the lingering and the false. Fletcher, come here. Sorry, my cat is, of course, messing with all of my wall art while I'm speaking. Come on. And I just know, like, if I don't have those strong boundaries for myself, I am going to slip. And I did slip at the last music festival I was at. So I was going in accountable this time, wanting to do it the way that I know that I should be doing it. And if I want to continue doing these music festivals, something that I absolutely love, but I act out a lot there, if I don't have these strong boundaries up, which I wouldn't have learned if it wasn't for Slaw, then I can't do it. So my friends basically said, you can't avoid it forever. Life brings you tests and lessons, and you can't hide, and you can't do this and that. And that's when I realized, okay, these people aren't for me anymore. And it breaks my heart, because I'm just outgrowing them. And where I am in my program and my life, like, I don't need to be around people who can't respect my boundaries. And I wouldn't be saying that if it wasn't for Slaw. I can feel that I have more self-worth. I can feel that I'm feeling like I am enough. And, like, I can just not go to a music festival for a weekend where everyone is at because I'm protecting myself. Like, if you would have told me that I would do that last year, like, no. Because I always wanted to be in it, be in the center, be the mom of, like, oh, is everyone having a good time? Taking care of everyone. It was my job to keep the energy high. And I think my friends actually used me for that and wanted it to be this, like, we're all back together and it's all normal. And, like, I can't. It's not normal for me, you know? I act out in that certain, around certain people. And if I get too deep, I'm done, you know? So this program has given me a lot. I haven't dated in over a year. So I completely stopped boys. I mean, it took me a minute, but actually cutting them off and finally putting all of that energy back into myself. Oh, I also got rid of social media. I had to, and I still don't have social media. It's too triggering for me. I don't need to see what people are doing, especially because of how much time I'm spending by myself and kind of, and especially how much I'm not surrounding myself with those people anymore. I can't see it. And so it's like I'm rebuilding myself. Which I need, and I needed. I got a new apartment. I moved out of my house with my roommates who were toxic for me. And I didn't realize how enmeshed we were until getting into these rooms and realizing that I was doing a lot for them, and I wasn't giving back to myself. I was tiptoeing on eggshells around them. I wasn't taking care of myself the way I should have. And so now we don't speak. It is what it is. And I think that they called me selfish, for me having boundaries and for me to taking care of myself. Like, I couldn't go to certain birthday parties because people were going out and drinking, and I quit substances. But also, I can't be around. I know guys will be there that I have been with.
2 minutes.
Thank you. And they saw that as selfish. And if that's what y'all think is selfish, is protecting myself and having boundaries, then we're obviously, you know, it's, what's best for me. And I think friends have actually been the hardest for me, rather than the guys, because friends, they're your everything until they're not, until you start seeing the reality and whenever you stop seeing the fantasy of what the relationship is, you start realizing, like, wow, no one knows what boundaries are. And and right now I'm staring at my cat and I want to control him and I can't. But yeah, so I'm just, if it wasn't for this program, I would still trying to control my little sister, who is a drug addict and an anorexic, and sex and love and eating. I'd be trying to control my mom and her anorexia. She should be in these rooms too. I would still try to have a relationship with my dad where it's just non-sustainable. And I'm really looking forward to dating to see how far I've come and seeing how I interact in the dating world. And also, if it wasn't for these rooms, I wouldn't be able to admit to myself that I am bi. And for someone who's from West Texas to admit that, like, I feel really empowered now. I didn't accept myself for a really long time. But now there's no judgment. I'm going to date girls, and that's just crazy to me. But I'm open, and I'm just feeling extremely grateful. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Higher Power. And I know that these rooms, that higher power got me into these rooms. Because he knows that I deserve healthy relationships and that I deserve healthy boundaries for myself. And to know that I'm worthy and enough. And I know that I am. So I feel like that's just about time. Oh, I just lit my camera. But yeah,
that's great.
Perfect. Thank you all for letting me share.